This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch podcast. I'm Kevin, here alongside my sister Mary. How you doing, Bear?
What's going on, guys?
Yes, and we are here, and we are kicking ass.
Taking names.
That's right, and we're doing season five.
Season five, episodes three and four.
Yes, business ethics and baby shower.
Yes.
But before we jump into this week's episodes, Mare Bear is going to fill us in on what we missed or what we covered, what you may have missed last week.
This is what you missed on Glee.
Yes.
So last week we opened up season five with episodes one and two, Weight Loss Part 1 and Part 2. So we found that the office was embroiled in a summer slam against all other Dunder Mifflin summer offices. Slam. Whoever could lose the most weight would get extra PTO days. In the first episode, Pam goes off to New York City to attend Pratt Institute.
Of design.
To pursue her dreams of graphic design, essentially. Kelly collapses and looks like Gollum. Ryan comes back.
Yeah, that's
with
right.
a goatee.
That's right.
Ryan, yeah.
He takes over Pam's spot at reception.
Yep.
Which I have to say, we didn't talk about last week. How is Dunder Mifflin allowing him to be in their employ again?
I have no idea.
Like, that is just, like, curious.
I wonder if they know because he's through the temp agency.
That's true. It could be, like, covert.
Yeah, because Michael's the one who emailed the temp agency.
But in this episode coming up, Holly even, like, calls him out.
You know what I mean? Slightly addressed.
Yeah, so it's just...
It's almost as if... Yeah, we'll
it's just
get
weird.
There.
It's just weird.
We'll get there, kids. Yeah. And then Dwight drop kicks a cheesecake that was meant for Stanley's birthday. Oh, and we see Angela and Andy planning their wedding. Dwight and Angela having a torrid affair.
Yes, hookups.
In the warehouse, which none of the warehouse workers seem to care about at all.
Nope.
And then in the second one, that's
no, that is the second one. That's all the same one.
The cake is the first episode.
Is it?
Yeah, Ryan comes back in the second episode.
Oh, okay.
My bad.
Yep.
Dwight abandons Phyllis, and the bad part of town makes her walk 5 miles. Which then results in corporate saying, like, only healthy ways to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings in Michael Klump.
Yes.
Bing, boom, shit, Clark. Love that Clark. Michael has his sumo suit on and is trying to say that fat is beautiful. But then they end up losing the contest anyway.
Yep.
But Michael makes headway in the race for Holly's friendship and then her heart.
And that's where we left off.
That's basically, yeah, pretty much.
All right, so that brings us to season.
Oh wait! Jim proposes.
Oh yeah, and you would think we would remember that, but it was even an afterthought for the show.
Yeah,
because of the way they handled it. But
Shit.
Yeah, so that happened. Jim and Pam are now engaged.
Yay!
So that brings us to season 5, episode 3, business ethics. So Mare Bear, take it away.
All right, guys. Cold opens are back.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, they are.
That was a total Jeffree Star moment.
What'd you
Sorry,
think?
Guys.
Who's Jeffree Star?
Oh, don't worry about it. We'll talk about that offline.
So, Jim and Pam, this is a Jim and Pam scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're on the phone, and Pam is mad at the rest of the office and doesn't want to say hi because none of them called her to congratulate her on the engagement. And Jim is like, well, yeah, I didn't tell anybody, though. So he's like, you know what? Fine. You want me to tell everybody? He puts her on speakerphone. He announces it. And like, literally there's
nobody cares.
No reaction.
Everybody's like, oh,
like,
I thought you were.
Yeah. You aren't already.
Yeah.
And Angela's like, no, that was Roy. Which, total bitch move.
Well, this whole thing, like when everybody's just like, okay, whatever. It totally reinforces something we already know. Everybody in the office is an asshole.
Yeah.
They are just assholes.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin even asked, he's like, I gave a gift to Pam and Roy. Do I have to get another one? And he's like, yes, you do.
Not one congratulations or
anything. No. And then Andy's like, oh, pretty close to mine. Tuna, what's your game? Yeah. And he's like, to get married. Like, literally. Like, they probably have the truest intentions,
mm-hmm.
but they're getting so much shit.
Yeah. Because nobody likes them because they know Jim's a smart ass.
Yeah.
And Pam... To be honest, it's kind of lame.
Well, then I love Dwight.
Oh, Dwight!
She's not a virgin, you know. Because that would ruin things for Dwight, apparently. But apparently not.
No, Dwight doesn't matter. He doesn't mind deflowering abroad.
As long as it's only with him, he's
Well,
cool.
That's the thing. He's like the king in Braveheart. He will deflower. Oh, my God. What, didn't Michael do that?
He
Prima
did.
Nocta.
Prima Nocta. At Phyllis's wedding, he said that.
That's right.
And then Michael walks in, and he goes, "What's going on?" And Jim goes, "Nothing." And Creed goes, "The tall guy got engaged. Not even a name. The tall guy." Michael is so happy that he tackles Jim,
with
and
a
you
hug.
Just yeah, and you just hear Pin go, "Sorry," yeah.
Like she wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, which I mean, maybe with her time away, like you kind of romanticize things.
Nah,
like
they're all
no,
assholes.
But like I worked in an office, as we've talked about before, and like literally, I wasn't in for almost a year. And I recently went in to visit everybody, and I was like, oh, it's so nice to be here and see everybody. And then, like, an hour in, I was like, I'm ready to go the fuck yeah. home and stay away from all of you people. Yeah. Y'all are toxic.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's an office.
Like, so, I mean, I get it. She's been away for, like, what, 2 months now?
Yeah, three months.
So, yeah, she's probably romanticizing, like, oh, I miss everybody.
Well, Phyllis is like my mom. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, Phyllis sucks.
Yeah, basically. Phyllis is like, I thought you were already engaged.
Oscar's
bitch.
Still a bitch. Nobody changed, all right? Like, Dwight's,
Oscar, no girl talk.
Dwight's still an asshole. Like,
exactly.
Nothing changes.
So, then we open it up, and Holly's explaining that she's giving a quiz because it's Ethics Day. So, she's giving a quiz on ethics. And she's really excited because it's her first conference room meeting, but she pretty much has to read from the binder. So she's kind of, her
it's
hands
lame.
Are tied on a certain things. So the entrance, as we always know, Michael likes to make an entrance. Mm-hmm. They play Olivia Newton-John's Let's Get Physical. Mm-hmm. And Michael and Holly come in dancing, wearing sweatbands, and they change the lyrics to Let's Get Ethical. Ethical. Yeah. Let me hear your Dunder Mifflin talk.
But then they just start saying body.
Yeah. Yeah, they give up. But, so then we get a talking head, and Michael explains about his goal. He wants to be friends with Holly, mm-hmm. and then merge that relationship to being a couple without her realizing it. Which, non-consensual. I don't know how I feel about that.
Little rapey.
Little rapey. Mikey likey, a little too much. So, Ethics Day is, as she explains,
yeah.
because of some misconduct at corporate, they're having an ethics day. And the camera immediately pans to Ryan,
yep.
who's sitting in the back sipping his coffee. And Kevin's like, we know about the misconduct. He's right here. He's sitting right here. And Holly almost looks like, wait, that's the fucking guy?
Yeah,
like,
well,
it's
no,
almost
she
like
knew.
She didn't realize who Ryan was.
Oh, well, that he was rehired?
Yeah, yeah, like she didn't know that that was the same Ryan who was arrested for fraud. And
Michael's friend.
Michael, she just thinks it's Michael's friend, Ryan. So now Ryan gets up and he talks about how it was a wild ride. He's out of the rat race. Does he regret it? No. Because did y'all see Survivor Season 6? You remember Joanna? In New York, he hooked up with a girl who looked just like her. Yeah. Indistinguishable.
And Michael says,
Michael applauds.
Yeah, great story, Ryan. You're a good guy.
Right? Like, what the fuck?
My favorite part is when Kevin's, like, talking about Ryan. He goes, he's here now. He's hired guy.
Yeah, and then him and Jim fist bump. Yes. Like, good one, good yeah. one. So then Holly's reviewing the quizzes that they took that morning. And let's just be honest, guys. It's all bullshit.
It's
and
all.
Oscar calls it right out.
Yeah.
They review time theft. They review stealing office supplies. And Michael kind of pulls her aside and he's like, listen, you look amazing, but people expect a lot out of these meetings. You have to be surprising. You have to be fun. You have to be Robin Williams and M. Night Shyamalan. You have to be Robin Shyamalan. And Holly's,
I like to think that's M. Night's brother. Right. His like less successful brother, Robin. He's like a toll booth operator or something. Yeah, Robin Shyamalan.
So Holly decides, she's like, all right, we'll go off binder. And she's like, all right, so say my name is Susie, and I am at the grocery store, and I shoplift a pencil. And they're all, like, calling them out, and
yeah,
she's
Oscar,
like, I have to go over
Oscar
supplies.
Tells her these aren't, this,
this
is not
is a corporate
ethics.
anti-shoplifting yeah. lecture. And
ethics is a conversation of the competing ideas of the good.
Yeah.
And then Andy gives him a an example.
Oh, yeah. Would you steal a loaf of bread to feed your family?
Yep.
And Oscar's like, yes, actually, Andy, good boy. Yeah. Like, pat on the
good
head.
Good job at Cornell, bro. Big
right?
red.
And he goes, well, I took intro to philosophy twice.
Yeah, we did too.
I took Intro to Philosophy 1.
Well, I mean, we took Intro to Philosophy, but we also did. Carried on with our same professor at Penn State.
Yes, and yes, we did.
That gentleman changed my life.
That Canadian tuxedo.
He used to wear the fucking Canadian tuxedo and be like, oh, hello, class.
Hello, everybody.
He had the greatest baritone.
We're going to talk about Socrates today.
Who likes Socrates? That guy. But anyway,
dressed as Socrates.
Yes, he did. He wore a toga.
Oh my god, it was amazing. And I paid for that college class.
Again, every week we seem to go back to college, and we're like, oh, what? Why?
Why did I pay so many thousands of dollars for that to do a podcast?
But this is to do a podcast. So this is like when Holly gets all flustered.
She
and
does.
Michael takes control from her.
Yeah,
and that's when it goes off the rails.
Well, Dwight also says. That's a trick question because the bread is poison and it's not your real family. You've been fooled by a stronger male. Oh. Insinuating, listen, bitch.
Well, Dwight used the word cuckold.
Cuckold, yes.
Which is, well, you take a sip of your drink right now. You don't want to go there?
No, go ahead.
No.
I didn't write it down because I didn't feel confident I would be able to repronounce it after I wrote it down.
That word in like modern society, I think, has a different connotation from what it was originally meant
to
have.
Well, cuckold means like fooled.
Yeah,
originally.
Or, yeah, exactly.
The wool pulled over your eyes, yeah, essentially.
It's a Shakespearean term that has been used for filthy, dirty things in modern society.
Yes. So we'll move on. And Michael says, well, I wouldn't steal, and I also wouldn't let my family go hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Provides no explanation as to how. And so Holly's like, all right, let's like get back on topic here. And Michael says, all right, let's have a real talk. No repercussions here. Admit your ethical dilemmas.
Yeah, this is full immunity to speak freely.
Yeah. And Michael admits that when he discovered YouTube, he did not work for 5 days.
What did he watch, Mare Bear?
He watched Cookie Monster sings Chocolate Rain like 1,000 times. And Holly's like, great. And what was your dilemma? And he goes, whether or not to tell you. Feels good. I'm glad I did it. And it was cathartic. Cathartic. I can't
Are you
even
saying
say
it like
incorrectly.
He did?
I'm trying to. Oh. Cathartic. That's right. How he said
so he,
it.
He put Arctic in it.
He said gotcha. Arctic.
All right.
I'm trying to say, yeah, I was trying to say it, but it was so hard to even fuck it up. I think he struggled. So Michael then says, yes, you have total immunity. I promise you will not get in trouble. So then Oscar's like, well, occasionally I'll take a long lunch. And Dwight screams, time theft, fire him.
Time thief.
Yeah. And Jim's like, come on, Dwight, like, you've never stolen time? And he goes, no. And Michael goes, you're a thief of joy.
It's a great line.
So then Kelly says that she downloads pirated music onto her work computer. And Holly's like, what? So then really quickly, we move Angela, reported Oscar to INS once. He's clean, but she's glad she did it. And then Meredith stands up and says, you all know Bruce Myers from the Hammer Mill paper rep?
Bruce.
Well, I've been sleeping him for the last 6 years for discounts and Outback steak coupons. And Jim just goes, jackpot. And everybody's just, like, stunned. And she goes, was this an exchange of goods? And she goes, it was an exchange of steak.
Have you ever had sirloin, sister?
Yeah.
Hot.
Which, I mean, let's be honest.
Good steak, man.
It's good steak.
Good steak is worth a lot.
Yeah.
Even dignity.
So then Michael calls her the marinator, which I fucking love. Yeah.
And he like marks out. He's just like, oh, awesome.
Sleeping with suppliers.
It's like the coolest thing to have.
And he's like, I think we should end it there. Right. And Holly's like, Michael, this is serious.
Well, how Michael ends the meeting, though, with, you know, what is good? What is bad? It's unknowable. He ends it with that.
There's no barometer here. So Holly's really upset, and she's like, listen, we need to talk about Meredith. So then we see Meredith, Holly, and Michael in Michael's office, and Holly's questioning Meredith, and she's like, how many liaisons have you had? And she goes, you mean meetups? I mean, like, once a month for the last 6 years? And Michael's, like, trying. He's like, Meredith, you need to explain to Holly that she misunderstood and that you just like to sleep around.
Yeah, he's trying to help her.
Yeah, he's trying to like get her out of this because even Michael understands that this is bad.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, no, I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for the discount. And Michael goes, oh, you stupid bag. We're trying to help you. You stupid bag. And Holly's just like, what I don't understand is, why the steak coupons? And Meredith's like, I don't know, maybe it's a girl thing, but when he gave me those coupons, I just felt good about myself.
Meredith is a national treasure.
She really is. Yeah. Oh my god, I love it. So then, Holly is like, well, I mean, I've never heard of somebody doing this and then keeping their jobs. And Meredith's confused. She's like, wait, I thought I had full
immunity
here. And that's when Holly's like, I don't know if anybody's ever kept their job after this. And Meredith goes, well, I'm not quitting. Like, that's the only option. And Michael's just, like, he's actually upset. Because he's like, fuck, I actually walked her right into this. Not knowing that she was sleeping with the supplier, but he kind of opened the door to this. So now, because Dwight says he's never stolen any time, Jim breaks out the stopwatch, and anytime Dwight does anything personal, like yawning or talking to Jim, he basically, sorry guys, I had a frog in my throat there.
he pulls out a stopwatch.
Yeah, and he's timing everything. He's like, you say you never use personal time, and every time Dwight would have like a retort to him, he starts a stopwatch, stops it, starts it, stops it.
You're not working, you're going to get time.
Exactly.
See how much time you thief.
Exactly.
Thief.
So then Michael walks back to Holly and he goes, hallelujah, you're here. And she goes, it's Mike Raculous. And Michael's like, that's reaching, reaching. You'll get there.
Craps on her.
You'll get there. You can tell he's already like turning back into like protective of his family, Michael.
Yep.
So then Michael like tries to schmooze her. Over like the Meredith situation, and he's like, "Why don't we bang it out over lunch?" And she's like, "Oh, well, I already
Great
have
verb.
Food. Yeah, right. I already bought this." And he takes her food and throws it in the garbage, knocking over a bunch of like binders
Files.
And everything. So then we see the Cooper Seafood House sign and the building, and it's the actual sign and building.
They were in Scranton and filmed the outside of Cooper Seafood, and which Brian Baumgartner, Kevin on the office,
recently here.
He was in Scranton like a week ago.
Yeah, he went to Backyard Ale House in the Bog
in Cooper's.
And he was
like,
did he go to Cooper's?
He was at Cooper's. He was like serving drinks and meeting people. Apparently, he's doing some kind of film project about The Office.
Oh.
So he came to Scranton for a night to get some footage.
Just one night?
Yeah, no, you think, just one night!
One night!
But no,
that needs to be the theme song of his movie.
That is the actual location, though. They were there.
I was pretty pumped when I saw that, and I even looked at the octopus
and
everything.
The octopus coming out.
It's crazy.
It looks like a pirate ship.
It does.
Like, that's
yeah.
the thing. Is like,
it's like a lighthouse.
Yeah.
And
it looks like you would imagine Long John Silver's would look like on the outside. Like, this big pirate ship with, like, like the fish and shit.
Yeah. But, so they go in, and Michael's literally doing anything to avoid the topic of Meredith. He's like, oh, so what's your favorite season? I like fall. And he asked her, like, where she grew up in Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines. And he's like, oh, that sounds warm.
It's very far from it.
It's very far from it. But Holly's like, no, listen, we need to talk about this. And she's like, there's no way that I can write up this report without her being fired. And Michael kind of just looks at her. And then we go... And Jim, this might be one of my favorite scenes of the
episode.
This
was good. This was good, yeah.
Jim is talking to Andy and he goes, oh, did you see Battlestar Galactica last night?
Speaking loud enough for Dwight to hear.
Exactly. And we all know Battlestar Galactica is one of Dwight's favorite shows.
Yeah, just last season he dressed Mike in his Battlestar sweatsuit.
Crew neck sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And, so he's talking to Andy, and he's, like, goading Dwight so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and Andy's like, no, I've never seen it. And he's like, oh, it's got Wookiees and, like, everything.
Wookiees, Klingon, and the main guy, Dumbledore Calrissian.
Dumbledore Calrissian has to return a ring to Mordor. And Dwight is, like, literally losing his mind. He's crumbling up these reports and these papers. Because, like, literally, if you're not into science fiction, Jim, I think, took every single science fiction...
Just an orgy of sci-fi.
It was hard to hear, even just as, like, a Star Wars fan. Dumbledore Calrissian. Like,
I kind of like it.
Ridiculous. But Dwight, like, he's... And every time he's like, Dwight, do you have something to say? With his stopwatch right out. And Dwight's not going to get caught in that trap. So we go back to Cooper's, and Holly and Mike are discussing Meredith still.
Do you know the line Mike opens the scene up with?
Well, he says, I don't want my employees to think that their job depends on their performance.
I wish I had a boss like that, honestly. Can you imagine a manager, supervisor, boss?
I almost want to work for one for like a month just to see if I could handle it or not. Mm-hmm. Because I'm somebody who's very performance-driven. Mm-hmm. So if they were just like, oh, you're a nice person, it's like, no, but how am I doing at my job? Like, I feel like I would just kill myself. But Michael also explains, he's like, listen, Meredith's a single mom. This is her only source of income. Like, we can't punish her. And Holly's like, well, I follow the rules, and I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is against the rules. And Michael says, well, we can punish her instead of firing her. No sex for 6 months. And then they get into a discussion over chastity belts.
Yep.
The underwear with the spikes on them.
Is this also where Holly tells him?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's next.
All right, my bad.
So then Dwight is back at the office. He's literally chugging a Crystal Club Cola, which is local, local soda brand. He's chugging a 2 liter of it, and Jim is doing a voiceover saying, like, he literally has not stopped working for a second. He sneezed with his eyes open while filling out expense reports, which he didn't even realize was possible. He doesn't even go to the bathroom because he peed in that same soda bottle at his desk. And you just see him lift the 2 liter bottle with the yellow liquid. It's on the desk. It's just gross.
Hot, steamy urine.
And Jim's like, it's so hard being this vigilant. I haven't gotten any work done. So now we're back with Holly and Michael. And Michael says that he feels that no one should get in trouble because he said it was immunity. Mm-hmm. And Holly says, listen, the behavior is unethical. And to be honest, it's a little icky. And Michael's like, yeah, but you have to deal with things like that when you're in a family. And she goes, it's not a family. It's a workplace.
And they're like,
and
that
his
cuts,
face
yeah.
just drops.
That cuts him, man.
So hard. So now we see Michael and Holly arrive back at the office, and she's walking in, and she's pretty, like, proud of herself. Mm-hmm. She's like, I stood my ground. Michael's literally walking 10 feet behind her.
Yeah, he won't be with her, yeah.
And he's talking, and he's like, well, that was an awkward ride back. And he's like, I'm only standing out here because I don't want to ride up in the elevator with her. Also, I have her leftovers, and he tosses them into the garbage.
Just like Kobe.
Kobe.
R.I.P.
So, oh God. So now we're in the office, and we see Dwight walking to his desk, and Jim goes, 19 minutes and 48 seconds, Dwight. What were you doing for 19 minutes and 48 seconds? And the camera pans over to Angela, who's buttoning her blouse. Yep. And he's like, was that personal time? And Dwight's like, that's none of your business. It's none of your business. And he goes, so, you're not perfect after all. You do use personal time. And Dwight admits to using personal time. And that. And Jim
Maybe
goes,
I'm
not you're
perfect.
Not quite ethical. And then Dwight just goes, no, I'm not. Am I? And then he turns the other way and he looks at the camera with that Grinch
yep.
grin.
Yep.
And so then we're in the kitchen with Michael and he's filling up his coffee cup. And Holly walks in with her little travel mug. And she puts it out as in, like, hey,
can
Michael,
I have some?
Yeah. He literally leaves with the coffee pot.
He backs out like the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, so that she cannot have any. So now Holly's doing a voiceover and she says, nobody trusts her. And we see a montage. Michael's at the... He literally runs to the copier to cut her off mm-hmm. and copies a framed map.
He just takes it off the wall, puts it on the copier, yeah. and just starts making copies
yeah.
to, so she can't
just
do
so
this.
That she can't. So now, Ryan goes into Michael's office and he says, Michael, Kendall's on the line and Holly's on her way. And Michael goes, what's worse than one HR rep? Ryan goes, two HR reps. And it's, ain't that the truth?
Fuck him.
Ain't it the truth?
Kendall's the worst. His reputation precedes him.
Exactly. Finally, we get to kind of meet this Kendall that David Wallace doesn't even like. And David Wallace puts up with Michael Scott, for God's sake. So Holly walks in. She goes, can I sit? And he goes, I don't know. Can you?
He's such a dork.
He is. I'm like, oh, man. Here's toddler Michael throwing his tantrums.
This is what girlfriends do when their boyfriends do something wrong. I don't know. Can you?
Can I come in? I don't know. Can you? I don't know. So Kendall is, he's like, so I got your report, Holly. She's like, yeah, I think it's pretty black and white. And he's like, I don't know. I think it's more of a gray area. And basically he's like, listen, we're getting a discount, a major discount in a really bad, like, economic age. Yeah,
tough time for the company.
Yeah. And so I don't think there's anything going on here. I think it's gray area. I think we should just accept the discount. And Michael kind of, like, lights up, like, see, yeah, bitch, I told you I was right. And Holly's, like, kind of arguing back. She's like, but it's... And Kendall, like, he yells at Holly. Yeah. And he's like, every other person was able to get the signatures. If you're not able to get the signatures, that's a different conversation you and I need to have.
And that... This is a great representation of anyone who has worked in a big company or for a government agency where it really, performance a lot of times doesn't matter, like almost like what Michael says, as long as they get the signatures and the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and they cover their ass from a lawsuit perspective, so to speak,
yeah,
they're fine with stuff. Like, it's just like, get the signatures, and if they fuck up, we'll fire them then or something like that.
Because
if
it's,
if
have
it's,
their signature.
Yeah, if it's that egregious. But right now, like, just let it go. Like, a lot of places will do that. And, like, Holly trying to be Captain America here, you know what I mean? She's, like, trying to play by the rules and that. But as the higher you go up the food chain, the lot, like, the less rules apply to people. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. That, like, I took that and, like, this is actually kind of true.
I mean, I could see it. I've never witnessed it happen.
Oh, I have.
I've never witnessed it happen, but I'm sure it does happen.
And this whole thing, the whole ethics and that, like, the company I work for, we have periodic, like, trainings, they call them,
yeah,
where people go to the, you know, a main office, and they put on videos and read from the binder and all that shit like that. And it's all like, just bullshit, especially because if you've been there
mostly
long enough, you do it
sense.
You do it annually.
Yeah.
So after that, it's just like, oh, what the fuck? But they, yeah, have to do it. And they don't really care. They're just like, oh, we're going to do this. Just sign whatever. Like, mm-hmm, they don't care. Even if you're paying attention or not, or if you do a test or whatever,
yeah,
they don't care. Like, they'll give you five chances to do it. You know what I mean?
God.
Like, that's the truth. But I digress.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Holly goes out to the office and she announces that she needs to restart the seminar. And everybody's like,
she's very frantic here.
She,
like,
is.
Because she just got yelled at.
And everybody is like, don't sign anything. Like, Meredith's,
oh,
like,
yeah,
don't sign anything.
Meredith's like, don't trust the bitch.
Yeah, and every, like, nobody trusts her. And she's like, I just need you to sign the paper, please. And everybody's still yelling at her. And Michael comes out and he goes, everybody get in there or I will kill you. And Stanley's like, Michael, it is 5:15. I have begun packing my things for the day.
15 minutes early, Stanley's just like, I'm done.
Oh, he's getting ready.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been there, done that. It's like, oh, it's an hour to quitting time. Better start packing up and finishing things off.
4 o'clock on a Friday.
Yep. Yeah. So then Michael's like, everybody in the conference room or I'm going to lose it. And Holly smiles at the camera because everybody starts going in. She's like,
Michael stood up
for
me.
Back on my side.
Yeah.
Back on my side. And as they're going into the conference room, Meredith goes to Michael, am I getting fired? And and he goes, this is not the time, Meredith.
Yeah, which kind of doesn't assuage her fears.
No, this is not the time to worry if you're losing your job or not.
Yeah.
So then everybody... oh, I'm sorry. They complete the training.
Yeah, they all go sit in there. She,
yeah,
reads from the binder.
Yeah,
blah, blah,
everybody
blah,
signs,
blah,
blah, blah, blah, happy ending. Then we see everybody in the break room, and there's all of these takeout containers. And everybody's like, oh, thanks for this, Meredith. Thanks so much. They all have Outback Steakhouse to go.
Yeah,
there's
Stanley's,
ribs.
Yep.
There's an onion blossom. There's steaks. Apparently they ran out of steak sauce, but Meredith said it's fine because she has extra in her minivan.
I like she just stores, like, condiments.
Right?
It's awesome.
And Andy asks, he's like, I just don't understand how the steak factors in. And Kevin's like, I think she got it as a tip, but I don't know why she wouldn't take the cash. And Phyllis is like, who cares why she's getting it? I just hope she keeps doing it. And her and Stanley, like, high five over some ribs.
It's okay that she's prostituting herself,
yeah,
as long as we
as
partake
as
in the bounty.
Yeah, as long as we get paid out, too.
That's hilarious.
So they're pimping her out for steaks.
Yep.
It's amazing. So, and that's the end of the episode. What did you think, dude?
I gave it 3.6. I thought it was solid. I thought it was, I laughed. I thought it was funny. I didn't think it was great. There was parts where I was kind of like, like, I feel like we didn't need 3 cutbacks to Cooper's. I think 1 or 2 would have sufficed in the restaurant. Okay. It was, like, the cold open was okay, but, like, not funny. Because, like, it just reinforces that everybody's an asshole.
Yeah.
Because, like, how many times since Jim and Pam started dating have they just been like, weren't you dating already? Wait, you're still together? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of like an old joke.
That's still going on?
Yeah, it's kind of like an old joke. It was just like, okay, whatever. But, like, it was good. I laughed. I thought it was funny. There's not, I don't know that there was much move. I mean, the only thing, I guess, is Michael Holly kind of storyline. Otherwise, there wasn't much progress with anything, if that makes sense. Because, like, there was no Pam in this, except for in the beginning.
Yeah.
And there was nothing with Jan. There was no Ryan Kelly stuff. Even well, the
Ryan's
Dwight...
not back yet. Oh, yeah, he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, he is. Duh. Even, like, the Angela, Andy, Dwight thing, really, except for, like, the bread comment. Like, there was
19 minutes and 48 seconds.
Yeah, it was just like they're still doing the hookup thing.
Well,
so,
also, Angela did call INS on Oscar.
Like, the conference room stuff was funny, and the stuff with Meredith was great. Like, it was a funny episode. So, I got no complaints about it. What'd you give it?
I give it a 4.1. I thought it was really funny. I loved Meredith in this. Like, am I going to get fired? This is not the time.
when he's trying to save her, is the,
right?
the funniest.
You, shah, you beg.
You beg. What a horrible thing to say.
Right? I really thought it was funny. It showed Michael putting his family over
his
even
loyalty.
His love interest.
Yeah,
yeah. And we finally found out that Kendall is a dick.
Kendall is an asshole. Fuck.
Like, he, I mean, I get it. Like, he's Holly's boss. Michael is not Holly's boss. He yelled at her in front of her.
So,
I mean, HR
Holly doesn't
and the
follow
manager.
Under him?
No.
Because, like, I feel like he kind of was the boss of Toby. Like, Toby had a different role than everybody else in the office.
But so does Holly. So, he even says at the beginning, he goes, Toby's not really a part of our family because he works for corporate. He's not a part of his family either.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So, in HR, there's hierarchies within HR. So,
well, I understand that.
Yeah,
that's its own department.
But HR falls under HR.
So, they don't have
so
any
So, she would
with
not...
Michael?
Nope.
All right.
That's why, because Michael signs time cards, but if, I'm trying to think if we did the episode where Michael has to sign everything all at once and he just procrastinates.
I think that was like in season 2.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
was...
but Toby has to sign off
on
his
own
stuff.
Yeah, he's there too. Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, Holly got yelled at in front of who I would see almost as her equal in the office.
Mm-hmm.
If not a little above her,
yeah,
because Michael can't really fire anybody without going through HR.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, Kendall's a huge dick. But David Wallace, my little heartthrob, David Wallace, was validated in hating Kendall.
I'm assuming he'll be back soon, Wallace.
I'm sure.
Yeah, because while I was watching this episode, there is one thing that creeped into my mind. Haven't seen Packer in a long time.
Yep.
I think...
Oh, yeah. It's been quite a while.
I think since before Phyllis's wedding. Because he was there. He gave Michael the idea for the stripper. And that was like a season and a half ago. It's been a long time. And I miss Todd F. Packer.
Todd F. Packer.
But is there anything else you want to comment on this episode?
No. I thought it was really funny. I enjoyed it. Like,
it was
mean,
one
there
of
was
those...
no big punch to it.
No.
And it did have its issues, but
what I liked
overall,
about
I thought it,
it
was really funny.
What I like about it, and I'm going to compare it to another comedy show, South Park. Because South Park lately, the last like 3 or 4 seasons, they've been like full season arcs they've done.
Ah.
That's the whole thing. But I love some of the older South Park from like, you know, 10,
like
15
the
years ago.
Episodes.
When they would just do random, like Butters being a pimp and stuff like that. It would be these standalone episodes that were just hilarious. And that's kind of like how I feel about this one. It's like, it doesn't fit into the longer narrative. Like I said, there wasn't much that happened progressing storylines of that. But like as a standalone, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that about it.
Definitely.
So. Okay, so we've done that one. So we're going to go on to season 5, episode 4, Baby Shower.
Yes.
And we'll do that
right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. And we want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
It's been a long time since I've seen your smiling face. It's been a long time since I've seen a sunny day.
And welcome back to the halftime portion of the show. This is the portion of the show where we put ourselves over as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation. And right now I'm going to tell you what you can find over at the PTBN Pop feed for other podcasts. There's plenty of great content for you right there on the Place to Be Nation Pop feed, including the Hard Traveling Fanboys, the longest-running weekly episodic comic podcast in all of Place to Be Nation with Greg Phillips and Nick Duke. DC For You, an in-depth look at the world of DC Comics with Russell Sellers and Todd Weber. Marvel Age, where Nick Duke, Tim Cable, Russell Sellers, and Todd Weber are going back through the history of Marvel Comics. Laughing Theater, a live watch comedy movie podcast hosted by Andy Atherton. The Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast.
Fwah, fwah, fwah.
The Great Debate, a podcast where host Andy Atherton leads a panel through a series of arguments on topics far and wide. The Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular brings you deep thoughts from the minds of Glenn Butler and his family and friends. This week in the NFL, Cowboy and D'Amato take you through recaps and previews of each week of the NFL season. The NBA team, Adam Murray and Andrew Reich, cover the world of hoops from coast to coast. The Year in Pop, a deep dive into pop culture year by year, hosted by Andy Atherton, Scott Criscolo, Dr. G, and D'Amato. Diamond Conversations, where host Chad B brings in guests from in and around the baseball world for in-depth conversations. Sunday Groove, a podcast for music lovers far and wide, hosted by David Sunday. Oh, Sunday, get it? Because it comes out on Sundays.
Sunday,
lots of Sundays.
Sunday.
PTBN E-Ticket Attraction, a theme park-focused podcast led by Jason Sherman. Looking Forward, Looking Back, pop culture hosted by Andy Atherton and its sister show, Looking Forward, Looking Back. Sports, hosted by The Cowboy, each look ahead to upcoming seasons and events as well as look back at recently finished ones. Plus, special topical podcasts and pod blasts like Pop Goes to the Movies, Pop Goes the Classics, and Pop Goes to the Couch. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Wrestling feed, which includes a dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be podcast main event, Wrestling War Zone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jenny in the Gyms, Body Pressure Lock, and so much more. Subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sciency, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is now underway. We are in round one. There will be four matchups per day, so make sure to like our tournament page on Facebook or follow us on the Twitter. So you won't miss a single one. And we have officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure not to forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in WWE by Jon Crow, Pauly's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Finally, for information on joining our GWWE... Never mind. We've reached the end. That is that. Mare Bear, why don't you put us over?
Absolutely, guys. Now, as you all know, we like to keep it funky, fresh, and fun over on our Twitter feed. You can always hit us up at Brosis Podcast on Twitter. Or if you want to give us some feedback, hit us up at gmail.com at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. We love to hear your stories, your input. We haven't had any, really, since the beginning of the show.
Guys, got to get up on that.
We have gotten quite a few comments on our Twitter, though. Again, that's at Brosis Podcast. If that's your primary means of communication, please hit us up. We always love to hear your feedback. Thanks so much. And
What do you got pulled up on the Twitter?
Well, I was looking at Place to Be Nation's Greatest Sitcom Ever tournament. Mm-hmm. And the ones for today, it seems, are Everybody Hates Chris.
Okay.
Versus Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men.
Charlie Sheen. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a close one. That's a 51-49. Arrested Development versus Bob's Burgers. I've never personally watched Bob's Burgers.
I like it, actually.
Yeah, I just don't know it to really have an opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I would, though. Then, The Good Place versus Entourage. Have you watched The Good Place?
I've only seen a few. I haven't seen a lot of episodes.
Okay.
I've seen enough. It's a different kind of show.
It's a different take on it.
It's pretty original.
I really, really enjoy it. And actually, I'm almost... Now, I might be completely grossly incorrect here, but I'm pretty sure that... the creator of The Office is involved in that.
Oh.
Greg Daniels.
Yeah, he probably is. He probably is.
I think he is. Let me double check that. Because he really does deserve, like, a huge shout out. Let's see. And Michael Skure.
What? Sure?
Sure.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, we'll go with that. But they're both involved in The Good Place. I voted for them. They are beating Entourage. Modern Family versus Louie.
Louie. I like Louie.
I totally feel like those are two totally different genres of sitcom.
This is the thing. I've tried Modern Family a lot because everybody keeps saying, oh, it's so much fun. I can't get into it.
See, like,
it's
not for me. I do like Modern Family. I do.
It's not for me.
But unfortunately, I think Louie's going to take a hit because of that we've previously discussed.
Yeah, that show is hilarious.
Podcast that we will not reshare.
The thing that pisses me off about Louie is that the first episode I ever watched might have been the worst. There's like a flood and he like saves his daughters. It was like the fucking weirdest thing. Like I hated it, but like I went back to it and Louie's good.
Louie is good. But that's what we have over at Place to Be Nation on that Greatest Sitcom poll. So I'm pulling for The Good Place to kind of pull forward because I've watched, I have not seen the latest season.
Isn't it
season.
Over? I thought it finished.
Yeah, I think it just... Like, it's either just aired or the series finale is airing this week.
Okay, yeah.
But it really is good. I didn't watch the last season. I kind of wanted to wait for it to go to Hulu so I could binge it.
My one friend loves it. He's always posting about
it. Yeah, it's hilarious. That's why.
All right. So, everybody, that is what's going on with us in that Place to Be Nation. So, right now, we're going to start Season 5, Episode 4, Baby Shower. And the cold open is Dwight walking around the office with an apron.
Yeah.
And there's a bump in it. And he's talking about his cervix.
His uterus is ripening. Yeah, but he's like reading expense reports while he's saying these outlandish things.
About women's anatomy.
Yes.
And Jim does a flow chart. He's doing a talking head to where he does a flow chart where he's talking about how Jan and a sperm donor are having a baby. Mm-hmm. And then Mike and Dwight are practicing
a watermelon.
And they are connected by delusion.
I mean,
so
it's true.
Dwight is like hovering over a garbage can, dumping water into it, saying, my water's breaking.
God.
And then like Mike comes out and Mike's pissed at Dwight. So he asks Andy to have his kid. So Andy starts getting up going,
crowning.
Yeah. And then they just, Dwight like runs into Mike's office with, puts his legs up in the air.
Takes his pants off.
Yes. He's wearing red underwear.
He's wearing red boxer briefs.
Yeah. And his legs are up and Michael's like, trying to catch, like, this watermelon. And Dwight's, like, saying the shit, like, cradle my head,
I want drugs, I want an epidural.
Yeah, and Michael's just like, just have the baby. So then, like, the watermelon pops out from under the...
Well, because Dwight says, like, now remember, do you have your Sharpie? You have to mark it with a mark that nobody would ever know except for you.
So that you don't lose track of your baby. Yeah. Even though it's not Michael's baby. And then the watermelon comes out from under the apron, and it slips and falls on the floor.
Michael immediately drops it.
Because Dwight put butter on it because, you know, babies are slippery.
Newborns are slippery. Yes.
So then we see Michael at his desk eating the watermelon as Dwight is pulling his pants up right next to him.
Oh, my God.
And Mike says it's going to be a great day.
So gross.
So we go... Oh, also during all of this, Dwight does a talking head. Where he says that he did his own circumcision.
Yes. But can we also just talk, like, about how...
It's insane. Like,
but while all of this is happening, the one person that should never be disgusted by anything, because I think that they're probably the worst human being alive, Creed is disgusted by
even Creed's like, all right, this is a little
much. He's like, dude, this is too much, guys. Yeah. What the fuck?
So the show proper opens with the party planning committee setting up a baby shower. And Mike comes in, and he's disappointed because Phyllis couldn't find live
storks. No live storks.
Yes. So there's two bowls of M&Ms, blue ones with the name Chevy.
Which is amazing.
Chevy Chase. And what are they, pink with Ass-Turd.
Ass-Turd.
Which Mike says that's what Jan wants for the girl because it's a Viking princess.
Yep.
So Michael tells Phyllis to step it up because, you know, when she was getting married, they gave her a golden shower. And he wants his own golden shower now. Michael does a talking head where he says he's going to love this baby no matter what.
Yep.
Phyllis.
Not his.
What?
Not his.
Not
baby.
His. It's not his, but he's going to love it. I got questions. So Phyllis is taking up a collection, and Michael and Oscar, or Kevin and Oscar, start like belly aching. Like, why are we giving money to Michael's ex-girlfriend's sperm donor baby? Like, this is just fucking weird. And Phyllis is just basically like...
She's like, listen, think of it as paying for the cake.
Yeah, it's going to be a sheet cake. You know, Kevin's like, oh, take my money. So Pam is on the phone with Jim, and she's talking about other students, and she's like a high schooler. So Stacy did this, and then blah, 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 did this, and then they threw this, and like...
I couldn't even follow Pam's story.
Jim's frustrated because he's just like, I don't care.
I don't know these people.
This is stupid. Like, Pam, I'm trying to work. Like, I don't...
No, I don't think he's trying to work. I think he's just like, I don't know these people, and you're talking so quickly, I can't even follow. Like, I think that's more what he's frustrated with, is like, you know, and she's like, oh, why can't you be in art class with me?
Yeah, she's kind of being like a high schooler.
She's turned into
right?
a college student.
Yeah.
Do you have to think? I mean, that's the environment she's in.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. And then we see Angela doing a collage of people's baby pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the game where you pick, oh, who's a baby or whatever.
Yep.
And Andy mistakes Angela's. It's actually Phyllis's. And then Angela calls him a pervert.
Oh, that's my favorite. How does that make me a pervert? It just does. Yeah. Pervert.
So Michael goes to Holly in the back, and they chit-chat about Jan coming, and he says that she's in the terminal stages of her pregnancy.
God.
But because she is one of the more attractive people in the office, he's going to be mean to her. So that it's so for Jan, I guess.
Yeah, so it doesn't hurt her feelings. And he's already said the same to Ryan.
Yeah, which is great. So he basically explains that he's going to act cold toward her.
Yeah.
And also because he thinks he should do it because Jan is fat. It'll make her feel better.
Yes. It'll make her bloatedness not so bad.
So Stanley does a talking head
where he just
bitches about pregnant women. Oh, my nipples hurt. Yeah. My feet hurt.
I have swollen ankles. Yeah. My nipples get sore. Yeah. And think I don't need to know the fastest way to get to a hospital?
It's like B-roll of him rubbing his nipples like he's Simon Cowell. You have some bad habits. You know, like that whole clip. So Jan now enters the office with a stroller, and there's a baby in the stroller.
Oh, my God.
And everybody kind of stops. Like, nobody knew. Michael didn't know.
Nobody knew.
And he's just kind of, like, shocked.
Well, they're throwing a baby shower for her.
And he was not notified that the baby was present.
Born.
So Jan, you know, it's Jan and Michael with the baby in his office. And he's like, is that Ass-Turd? And she corrects him that it's Astrid.
Astrid.
And she says it was sudden, and her birth coach didn't think Michael should be there. And
I love how Michael's like, I proved that guy wrong on so many things.
That guy, you're going to listen to that guy? So Michael wants to hold Astrid, and Jan's going to let him, but then she goes, yeah, just pick up the car seat.
Oh my God.
So he's just holding the car seat.
Awkwardly.
So Michael goes out to introduce her to the office. He's like, everyone, Astrid. Astrid.
Yeah. Struggles Astrid. To say Astrid.
And then he holds the car seat up. He goes, Lion King!
Ah, Savinia!
And he just holds it up for everybody to see. And of course, Jan panics and grabs it.
I mean, who wouldn't?
So now everybody is in the conference room. Mike wants them to play games, and Kevin says they're all ruined because she already had the baby.
Yeah, the baby ruins everything.
And Mike's like, no, go ahead, what do you got? And Kevin goes, what date will the baby be born?
Although, can we just talk about the post-it note throne
that huge, they made her? Yes, so much paper.
Holy shit.
So Mike's then like, okay, let's do gifts. And they all, like, reveal the stroller they got for her.
Yep.
But she already got one, and it's like a $1,200 stroller.
And I'm sorry, I have to ask, how the fuck is she affording a $1,200 stroller on her $0 a year salary plus benefits, babe?
I also want to bring up that when they leave, she doesn't have the Porsche. She has a new car, too, like an SUV. So, Dwight takes her $1,200 stroller to test if it's worth it. So he, like, sneaks out with that. And Jan is singing to the baby. What is she singing, Mare Bear?
Son of a preacher, man. The only boy who could ever reach me was a son of a preacher.
And she's really into it.
She is.
Like, everybody's just staring at it. It's very awkward. And so then we see Pam in the laundromat. And Jim calls her. And they can't hear each other. And they're blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, she's frustrated. She claims she's not frustrated, but she is. You know, Pam.
Yeah.
Not being able to connect with Jim on this day. Because he didn't want to hear her story before. She couldn't hear his. Like,
yeah.
It's a whole thing. So Jan, throughout all this, Jan is continuing to sing. So then we see Dwight in a junkyard, it looks like.
Yeah, like he's in an abandoned part of Scranton that I don't think really exists.
Yeah, it looks like a nuclear winter.
I mean, Scranton is like dilapidated.
There are places in and around Scranton that might look like this, but it's like a war zone. And he's like
barbed wire, like ripped tarps on fences.
He's chucking the stroller around into concrete, into fences, into barbed wire and shit. Then we see Jan back at the office telling everyone she had a tub birth. Where Crete has the line of the episode, and he says, it must have been like the tide at Omaha Beach.
Oh, my God.
A good Normandy joke. That fucking killed it.
Oh, my God.
But, like, Jan's, like, talking about it, but people are starting to get, like, weirded out by it.
They're getting grossed out by it.
They're starting to kind of, like, file out of the room. So Michael holds the baby, and Jan says she's going to go take a nap. And Michael does a talking head where he says he felt shortchanged holding on to Asturd. And,
he didn't feel any emotional connection. Which, I'm sorry, but can I just interject really quickly?
Go for it.
She's like, oh, remind me to talk to you about Astrid's 529. Wake me in 20.
What's a 529?
529 is basically like a savings account that you can put tax-free money into.
So it's like an IRA?
For a specific reason, for education purposes.
College fund.
And then, high school, college, whatever.
Okay.
But when you take the money out, it's also tax-free. It cannot be taxed.
Really?
Yes. So, like,
why doesn't everybody have these?
Well, people will set them up for, like, their grandchildren or their children so that when they do get to college, they have this account but it can only be used for education, but it can be used for a trade school, it can be used for a traditional college,
gotcha.
Anything. But, so Michael's going to be putting into Astrid's 529, but he's not her father. Jan made that very clear. Yeah. I just thought that was funny.
So he hands the baby off to Phyllis because he doesn't want to hold her anymore. He goes down to the warehouse to talk to Daryl about being a baby daddy and having a connection with the child. And Daryl pretty much bluntly tells him, like, you're not a baby.
Yeah.
Or you're not daddy. That's not your baby. Like, stop it. Like, grow up. And of course, Michael's like, why? Is it because I'm white? I can't say baby daddy. Yeah. So Jan wakes up. She's passed the fuck out on the couch.
Yo, she's got a tablecloth on.
I was going to say, she was using a tablecloth as a blanket. She wakes up, and Holly's there. And Jan's like, where's Astrid? And Holly's joke, she's like, oh, she's on a sales call.
Wham, more paper, wham.
And Jan is not amused.
Dude, her deadpan at the fucking camera is psychotic perfection.
It's rough.
It's the only way I can put it.
And, like, Holly backs on, she's like, oh, well, she's with Angela. So Jan goes back. Andy and Angela are posing Astrid in a cornucopia with, like, fruit and leaves and shit.
It's like this vegetables. models.
Like, it's kind of like...
We know that Angela baby likes posters. Those posters.
Yeah, ooh. She was going to take a picture of this baby and use it, like, at her desk,
it feels so gross.
It feels very watching them creepy. Do that, yes. Yeah. And Jan is kind of, like, pissed off, like, because they're using a flash near the newborn for the camera and everything. And she runs into Michael, and Michael insults Holly.
Because yeah.
Holly's behind him.
She smells like rotten tomatoes and dirt.
Yeah, and Holly just, like, slinks away. So, Dwight drags the stroller on his car now.
Yeah.
He's dragging it and backing into it and backing over it and, like, just...
Call this a bumper test. Yeah. But I love how he's like, oh, watch out for the barbed wire!
Yeah, he's a fucking madman. So, Jana's, like, packing up her stuff and leaving, and Dwight tells her that the stroller has been put away in her trunk for her. She's like, oh, thank you. So Michael walks her out to, as I said before, her new car. It's like an SUV or like a station wagon or something. And she just tells Mike straight up, don't date Holly. Doesn't say why.
Why would she ask Michael if like they have nothing going on?
Exactly. So Michael goes back up.
Did you notice she left the gifted stroller?
Yeah, it's still sitting on the side. She's going to need it. Mike goes up and he hugs Holly and he asks her out. And she says yes. And she looks like all
They're
emotional.
Like crying.
Yeah, it's very strange. Very strange. But he does a talking head where he says he didn't feel much when he held Astrid. But he got a good feeling from Holly.
Yeah.
Then we see Pam and Jim. Jim's walking out of work. She's walking out of the laundromat. And they each got each other's voicemails because they called simultaneously.
Yep.
And they leave voicemails for each other. They admit they're just off today. They tell a story about when they did laundry together and... You know,
that crazy guy tried to punch you.
And it ends with Jim, you know, Jim and Pam, you know, I wish you were home. I miss you. They're
telling
each other.
I wish I was home.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the end of it. Is them just like ending their day.
Yeah.
What'd you give this one, Bear?
I give this one a 4.2.
4.4. Yep, definitely.
This is awesome.
There's a lot of madness in it.
Oh my God.
Good. Good stuff.
I love Angela calls the baby it. I need it to look up here.
Yeah, she's such a not a human.
She's so cold.
Yeah. But I mean, there are
fucking
questions.
Jan's insanity.
So you brought it up. Why does Jan not want Michael to date her?
I don't know.
She doesn't want him to be anything. Like
to
not
anybody else, but she wants him to support Astrid.
And another thing I don't get is, why is Mike sucking up to Jan? He wants to be with Holly, but he knows Jan is crazy. Like, he has to know, like, I can't play them off each other. So, like, what is it? I don't understand what the game is.
I think
it can't just be because he wants a kid.
I think that's what it is. But I think, like...
It's so damaged.
I know. Well, Fundle Bundle. Let's bring that up again. But I think he just wants... He thinks that's the closest he's going to get to having a kid.
Ugh.
Because he doesn't know if it's going to work with Holly. But
none of us ever know if it's going to work with anybody.
But I feel like after Jan tells him, don't date Holly... That's him.
It emboldens him.
But no,
he's like a kid. Like, don't go out with your friends.
I almost feel like that's him going, oh, wait. If Jan doesn't want me to date her, that means...
She's good for
me. One, she's good for me. I have a chance. So let's fucking do it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think it reinforced his feelings for Holly rather than... I don't think Jan has the pull she once did. Well, I think this is Jan realizing she doesn't have the pull that she once did over Michael.
Yeah.
Even with the kid.
It's,
and the fact that he didn't feel anything when he held the baby, I think that was just like, meh, nope, I'm going for Holly.
It's just so bizarre. I remember Scrubs did an episode about it. It was probably before this, where Dr. Cox's ex-wife, Jordan, has Jack the baby. And he's like, doesn't feel anything. And then like the kid looks at him one day and he holds him and he like actually is like, I'm going to be a dad.
Yeah.
You know, like that, when I was watching, that's what like, I went back to. I was like, oh, you know, I think I've seen this before.
Yep.
But, yeah, overall, it was a good episode. I laughed. I laughed at, you know, all the madness with the baby shower.
Because
Jan is literally nuts. And
she's been singing Son of a Preacher Man for 20 minutes. It's a song about losing your virginity next to a church.
That and the Creed line about Omaha Beach got it. Like,
dude.
That was an immediate one star.
Holy shit.
One star added to the episode just for that.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, the afterbirth floats. Sounds like a day on Omaha Beach.
What did you make of Jim and Pam stuff?
Just
something to do?
I feel like that was like a real thing, though.
You do
get out of sync with each other, and it shows a real relationship. It's not perfect all the time, but they're both still willing to put in the effort.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have
I'm
nothing much
it.
To add to it. It's whatever.
Yeah.
But overall, I love the episode. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, just Jan. Jan was the MVP. I fucking love Jan Levinson.
MVP. I feel like we're coming to the end of her on the show.
Yeah.
I feel like it's probably petering out at this point since Michael's going with Holly. And
I love her level of insanity. It's my favorite.
It's different. It stands
it's
out.
It's so intense.
It stands out on this show.
But when she just deadpanned to the camera, I audibly laughed. I actually laughed out loud because I'm... Oh, it's so good.
Because there's like smoldering hatred.
Yes.
So that'll wrap up this week. Yeah. What do we got next week?
Next week, we have season 5, episode 5, Crime Aid.
No idea.
And then episode 6, Employee Transfer.
No idea. Wait, didn't we already do an episode like that with Stanley? Okay, so we got another one like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So those are the two episodes for next week. Programming note. Me and Mare Bear have been kicking something around about since The Office is going to be leaving Netflix in about 11 months from now,
yeah,
that we have a lot of shows to go.
We
may be doubling up our recording sessions where we do two podcasts. We'll still be releasing only one a week, but we're going to be doubling up. So if you have any feedback or anything like that, if we miss it a week or we're behind or something like that, it's probably because we might be changing our schedule up in the future.
Yep. So just keep that in mind.
Just giving you a heads up. Don't be discouraged or anything like that.
Absolutely. And guys, always remember the best places to reach out to us on are the brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com or on Twitter at BroSisPodcast. Both Kevin and I like to play the game on Twitter. We're both interacting with everybody. So if you hit us up on there, there's a 100% chance one of us will get back to you within, like, an hour.
We'd like to hope so. Yes. So, that'll wrap it up for this week. Like, you know, just share the show. Tell your friends about it. We would appreciate it if you'd help the show grow.
Absolutely.
And until then, we'll catch you guys on down the road.
Thanks, guys.